Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by legendary NFL Hall of Fame coach, Mr. Marv Levy. How you doing, Marv?
Just fine. Very nice to talk to you. All the good football-related people.
So you just said, let me tell my listeners, at the time of this recording, Coach, you are 99 years old. You just turned 99. Did you ever think that you would live this long?
Well, I never gave it much thought. I just looked forward till tomorrow. But 99, and you sure, it's not the way you felt if you turned those figures upside down back to 66.
Yeah, 66, you mean?
66, yeah.
Yeah. So do you miss coaching at all?
Oh, well, it's been a long while now, and I realize that I don't quite have the energy I did. I loved coaching. I'm glad that's what I selected to do. I dropped out of law school way back because my college football coach had told me if I ever wanted to coach, I had a job. And he did hire me back at Coe College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then the rest is I coached for 47 years after that. Before retiring.
I know that Ralph Wilson tried to keep you on board, but you had already retired, and I was reading how you kind of regretted that decision later on.
Yeah, well, Ralph, he didn't want me to retire. He was a great guy. Was he wonderful to work for? He demanded a lot of things, but boy, he was high character. He was a fellow World War II veteran. I'm forever indebted and grateful to what he brought into my life, of course. And his general manager, Bill Polian, also is the one who really urged Ralph to interview me and then hire me.
So you had mentioned earlier on as well, you gave up law school at Harvard, right?
When I graduated from Co, I entered law school at Harvard. But when I left to go, that's what my head coach, Dick Clawson, told me, Marv, you want to coach, you got a job here. So I was in law school for a month. It started 1 month ahead of the grad school. I went over and pleaded to let them change me into the grad school program. They did. And so at the end of the year, I got a master's degree and then Dick offered me a job back at Co, and back I came.
I think that the coaching worked out for you, Coach.
Oh, yeah, and I loved it. I put in long hours, worked 7 days a week, been there 7 days a week, but I never worked a day in my life.
So do you?
So do
you still follow football these days and love watching the Bills or the Chiefs? I know that Patrick Mahomes is the top quarterback right now.
Not near to the degree that I did back then. I have great regard for the Buffalo Bills fans. They were so supportive, even as we lost those four Super Bowl games. They urged us on. They never were angry. They were wonderful in that regard. And then, currently, the coach of the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, is a graduate of the College of William & Mary. And I won five of my coaching years were at William & Mary, and they were the absolute great example of the true student athlete. Great students, great guys. So I had great regard for the William & Mary guys. And by the way, so is the Steelers head coach, a William & Mary alum.
Oh, yeah, up in Baltimore, right? Or up there in Maryland?
What? Up there?
So, yeah, College of William & Mary. It's up in Maryland, right?
William & Mary is in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Virginia, yeah.
Williamsburg, Virginia, which is still a colonial town. It's a beautiful colonial town where you can't drive automobiles downtown. It's all horse and buggy in the true downtown area. They preserved it.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, Patrick Henry gave his famous "Give me liberty or give me death" speech there.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, yes, sir. And also, something else that before you were or maybe while you were coaching is you're also a author. You've written a series of books.
Yeah, I've written I've written an autobiography, Where Else Would You Rather Be? Those are the words, by the way, that when I was appointed head football coach, I was the youngest one in the country at the age of 32 at University of New Mexico. The players gathered around me, the bands playing music, beautiful Sandia Mounds in the background, and I just blurted out to our players, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? And that's what I used to say to our players before the kickoff of every game I ever coached. And so that was it.
So I forget who said it, Marv, but one person said on the team that you always knew what to say. You never gave those let's win one for the Gipper type speeches, but you always knew what to say at the exact right time, at the exact right moment that motivated your players.
Well, I'm complimented that he felt that way. I just spoke emotionally a lot of the time. I didn't try to compose any literary stuff.
Now let's talk about the four Super Bowls. You led the Bills to four different Super Bowls, or four consecutive Super Bowls, and unfortunately didn't quite win them. Do you ever look back and think to yourself what could have gone differently?
And every year if we lost that game, you say, what should I have done differently? And to tell you the truth, sure, if you would call the pass play that got intercepted, you would have wished you wouldn't have called it. But but no, and I tell you, the day Ralph Wilson hired me, Bill Polian sitting in the office, we made a pledge that we would bring only high character, motivated guys onto our team. We had some of the most high characters individuals that played on that team. I'm so proud to have coached them. I stay in touch with so many of them, and I'll always value, boy, wherever I've been, whether it's William & Mary or with the Buffalo Bills or with so many others, I've been so fortunate, so fortunate.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, four players that I can think of right off the bat that you had were Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Bruce Smith, and a quarterback, some guy by the name of Jim Kelly.
I heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they were supposed to be big deals that you coached.
Yeah, you just named four of them, four of the great ones, too, and there were so many more, too. James Lofton in the Hall of Fame, and Steve Christie, who kicked the winning field goal in the greatest comeback game of all time. With 8 minutes to go, we were down in a playoff game against the Houston Oilers, 35-7. We won the game.
Wow.
We scored four touchdowns in that period of time.
So now that you're done with football, what are you up to these days?
A book of poetry. In 1945, World War II had just ended. I was home on furlough. I was still in the Army Air Corps. I was home on furlough. The Cubs won the sixth game of the World Series. And my friend and I was also home, rushed down to Wrigley Field to try and get a ticket to the seventh. The lion was out of sight, but they came out and they moved everybody in the uniform up to the front. And we got tickets. The Cubs lost the game. We're walking out with my friend Herb Melick saying, wait till next year. And we did. Said that every year until 2016.
When they actually
and in 2016... I was stunned. The Cubs knew I had been there for that game. They invited me back out onto the field to lead the crowd in the singing of the national anthem before the game. I did. The Cubs won the World Series in 2016. And I wrote a children's book called Go Cubs Go, which embraces a lot of that. Boy, you set me on fire here, Michael. there talking.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. And I was going to say, you've always been a Chicago Cubs fan. You've seen the best and the worst of the Cubs through all those years, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've always been a Cubs fan. I know the Cubs people well, or at least I did till these waning, till these years have passed. But we don't live too far away from Wrigley Field where we are now.
Oh.
And the Cubs are something, yeah.
So have they gotten...
And by the way, while we're talking, my wife just prodded me, and she's my offensive coordinator, by the way. Very offensive sometimes. That's a bad joke. Okay. But when you were asking me about who the players with the Buffalo Bills were that I remember, there's one I didn't mention, and I should. Steve Tasker.
Sure.
He was the greatest special team player of all time. He was blocking punts, covering kicks, covering onside kicks. He did so much. We've been campaigning so hard for him to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He belongs in. Another very high character guy, by the way. Graduate of Northwestern University.
And he's not quite in yet, right?
He's not in. We've been campaigning and campaigning, and I believe so strongly in the kicking game. Dick Vermeil and I were the first two special teams coaches in the history of the league back in 1969. So but I'm for Tasker. He belongs in for so many reasons.
We actually
family. Wow, unbelievable ability. Jim Kelly used to say, Marv, let me use him more as a wide receiver, too. He's a pretty good one of them.
Now, Coach, you're one of the very few, or actually, if anybody knows or has seen you, you are a Jewish man. Did you ever grow up holding Jewish customs or Jewish values? And even today, do you still hold Jewish values?
Well, no, it wasn't a real. That's my early belief. My mother came over here at the age of four, I believe, in 1908. And the only thing I really remember about that is her mother, that's my grandmother, had four brothers who remained back there in the Ukraine area. And they were all killed in the Holocaust by the Nazis when they came through.
Wow.
But I believe in God. I believe in treating all people right. I believe in people are allowed different religions. And I do wish what's happening now in Israel on the Gaza Strip could solve itself. That's the Holy Land. Why can't Christians, Muslims, Jews, any other nonviolent religion all live there in the Holy Land? I wish that would happen.
I know there's always going to seem to be war over in Israel. I know that this is another subject for another time, but there will never be peace there, apparently.
Never be peace. Well, I hope I can prove you wrong, and that I can prove you. I hope you are proved wrong, that there will be peace someday there. I certainly hope so.
Absolutely.
It's just tragic, very tragic.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir. Now, I know you have to run here. You're going to be traveling, and I want to respect your time, Coach. So I thank you so much for your time, and very nice to meet you and get to talk to you, sir.
And I thank you for your background, what you've done, and it was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Levy, as well.
Oh, you're welcome, Michael, but I just wondered if Marv wanted to mention about how Lamar Hunt called Ralph Wilson and told him, Marv Levy, I made a mistake by firing him.
Yes, that's what I thought, too. I mean, Lamar Hunt made a mistake firing you, Marv.
Well, Lamar did, and as I say, Bill Polian wanted to hire me. Ralph called Lamar about it to get what he thought, and Lamar said, we made a mistake. He had been probed by somebody in his organization about that. But anyway, that's all history.
Well, yeah, but it could have played out differently.
Yep, that's right. But I enjoyed my time in Kansas City. I enjoyed the fans. It was a pleasure to spend some years there.
I have one more question for you, Marv. Was it pretty loud back then too? Because Arrowhead's named the loudest stadium in the NFL.
Oh, Arrowhead?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, it was loud.
It was.
That's
loud.
Right.
Yeah.
It was loud back then, and I didn't know it had that reputation. That's sort of interesting and pleasant to hear.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed my days in Kansas City.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for your service here in Kansas City, and also thank you for serving our country. You're quite a guy, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. You're making me blush, but thank you very much. Pleasure to talk with you.
Yes, thanks. Same here. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.